Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Hope Sessions podcast, where every week we want to give you encouragement through different means, such as testimonies, dialogues with guests, along with diving into the scriptures and exploring the incredible life-transforming truths inside it. So with all that being said, here's another episode for you to tune into and listen to. God bless. Enjoy the episode. Hey, so before we jump into the dialogue this week with Gareth Hayes on the missions trip to Zambia, typically I wouldn't do this, but I felt prompted in my spirit to put an appeal out. So what's going to happen now is after I finish speaking, I'm going to have a slideshow of some pictures and videos of what actually happens on the missions trip. So however you're tuning into this, whether it be Spotify or YouTube, you'll actually be able to see the pictures and the videos of the great work that God is doing through Gareth Hayes and his team out in Zambia. I want to put an appeal out as well. Maybe as you're listening to this podcast episode, maybe your heart is burdened. Maybe the Lord might prompt your heart to go on a missions trip, to want to go to Zambia, to get involved, maybe physically go there or support it financially. What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave all the links to Gareth Hayes' Instagram, Facebook, his number, et cetera, in the links down below so that you have everything down below. But I really believe that you're going to be blessed by this week's episode. I truly was, as I had the dialogue with Gareth, and I know you will too. Take care. Enjoy the episode. God bless you. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Hope Sessions podcast with me, Jerry D. Today we have another guest, right? And what I love about having guests on is not only does it help a dialogue, but this guest that we have on today, right? I've known him for maybe about 10 years or so. You know, we would have been at different conferences together and he's spoken in our church several times. And it's usually you have that Christian conversation. How are you, brother? God bless you. Yeah, see you later. Take care. Well, we never really had a dialogue. So today we're actually going to have our first proper dialogue. And it's the wonderful Gareth Hayes. But let me tell you something. As I was thinking about this guy, right, we're quite similar in a lot of ways. This guy has a heart for mission, for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as he can through different avenues, quite similar to myself with the podcast and other means. But Gareth, my man, let me be the first to introduce you and welcome you and say thank you so much for giving up of your ever busy schedule to come on and just have a dialogue.
Hey man, good to be here. Delighted. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, awesome. So we're going to dive into a round that I've called rapid fire round. It's self-explanatory. You ready to go?
Sweet. Fire away, man.
Are you a morning or a night person?
Morning for sure.
Okay. Is there any reason why maybe a morning is your type of thing?
I only know a morning person because my wife goes out to me a lot. So I'm always singing, shouting, praising the Lord in the morning. Wow. I make a lot of noise. So that's how I know I'm a morning person. So
brilliant. And you're a bit of a, I suppose, for lack of a better term, an adrenaline junkie, right? So you What would be your favorite? I know you go paragliding, there's a bit of surfing, there's hill walking and stuff like that. What's your favorite if you were to do it in top, second, and third place?
Yeah, top is paragliding for sure. Like, and middle would be paragliding, and down at the bottom would be paragliding as well. Eh? So it stole them all lately, my surfboard. You can just see the fins of it sitting here. So it's been up in the shed for a while now. It must get it out, but nah. flying off the mountains, I love it. I do a thing called prayer in the air. So when I'm able to, I'll hike the mountains, go flying for a couple of hours. I just love talking to the Lord up there, praying over things, praying for people, encouraging them. Yeah, that's from the sky.
The closest I've gotten to paragliding is when I'm on Instagram looking at reels on my phone and I see these guys just running off a mountain and then they're just flying away. Like, I'm terrified.
See, that's where it starts, Jerry. That's where it starts, man. What do you see? 2 years from now, you'll have all the paragliding gear behind you there in your podcast, you know. It'll be prayer in the air podcast, you know.
I like cliff diving, jumping off cliffs and stuff, but the paragliding thing, yeah. I'd be afraid. I'd be like, I don't know, hawks or eagles or something. Maybe just soaring alongside you and potentially.
Yeah, you get them. Yeah,
you know?
Up here, I've had three eagles soar alongside me at Glenveagh, come up close, literally beside the wing, just looking at me. You know, so yeah, but they didn't do anything. They were just looking. Golden eagles.
Wow. Would I be right in saying, I know I remember reading an article on RTE probably 3 or 4 years ago that they've done this kind of a breeding program where they're releasing more eagles into Donegal to try help repopulate
the cycle. That's right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you'll still hear them there in breeding season. There's a few of them around there. I think you can follow them on the internet. They're tagged as far as you know. You can see their flight patterns and everything. But yeah, we had the three of them there. I think it was last year. We took off, and the next minute, one joined, second joined, and then his baby kind of joined in. I was like, oh, man, look at the size of those things. They're like pterodactyls, close, you know. Yeah, but they didn't do anything, which is great.
Well, thank God for that. What is your favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie? Man, you got me on the hop there. Like, there's so many good ones. But actually, one that comes to mind is, have you seen Hacksaw Ridge?
I have indeed, yeah.
There you go. I like that type of movie, but I love the heart behind it, you know.
Yeah.
Going after the ones, and yeah, it kind of aligns with my own heart. Just go after the ones and accumulates. But yeah, that's one that's up there, you know.
That's awesome. Wow. What's your favorite holiday that you've been on?
See, most of my holidays, as my children would tell you, are linked to mission trips.
Okay.
And I'm actually just back from Spain a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I did a paragliding sun holiday thing. It was nice, but for me, it has no comparison to like going to, say, Zambia or doing the missions and hanging out with the children we have, mixing the holiday and the mission. So, yeah, I've had too many of them to actually pinpoint any one of them, but I like doing both together. So,
yeah, awesome. And the last one I have for the not so rapid fire round is, what's your favorite summer fire experience? Or maybe a memory that you've had from the conference that sticks in your mind? Because I know you've probably been to all of them, I would say, maybe, or most of them.
Yeah, I think we've been to all but the last one there that just happened in Dublin.
Yeah.
We were in Africa or Latvia. I think when the Lord called us out of church ministry and to start the mission, I'll never forget that. It was one of those bittersweet weeks, you know, where you spend a lot of time crying.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to give up the work. At the same time, the Lord's birthing something. By that, the end of that week, yeah, myself and we knew in our heart there's something big happening here. So that's one of those memories you'll never forget.
Yeah, awesome. That's the rapid fire round over, right? And so this is the Hope Sessions podcast, and it exists to have Christians on sharing their story of hope about how the Lord has come into their life, because you didn't wake up a Christian. You know, you had to make a decision. There was a point in your life where you had to make a decision whether to go your own way or to follow the Lord's way. And a lot of people will know about you. You know, a lot of people who are listening to this maybe from the young adults ministry in my church or wherever. And they know, oh, yeah, Gareth Hayes, yeah, he's up in the Derry, Donegal area. But they may not know your story. So would you, for the next 5 minutes or so, share what life was like growing up until how you got saved?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Northern Ireland, Portadown. It was the name of the town, village I grew up in. And, long story short, I got myself in some trouble, as people do. When I was, I think I just turned 18, it was the second time the paramilitaries had put, I know this is going to go online, so I will be as sensitive as I can, but
sure.
they put the hit out to get kneecapped. First time I got a visit from them, I was about 15, 16. And then, just when I turned 18, I had done some more serious stuff that meant a kneecapping. So I ran away. I ran to the south, I ended up becoming an instructor, but the place, the first night or the second night I was at this place, when I ran away, there was a young lady babysitting in the house, and she was a beautiful young girl, and she's now my wife. And
wow.
So, long story short, we kind of, she was coming to Donegal to study. I couldn't go back home because of obvious things. We come up here, and within a couple of years, we had met some Christians. It's like anybody that comes to the Lord, it's like how do they know my life? You know, the Lord almost just brings people into your life. I met a guy, Stephen Bull. He was a pastor in the Hinch there at church for a while. Met him actually. He was half drowning at Bundoran one day. He lost his surfboard. His leash had snapped. We were high and drunk on the cliffside, laughing at him. He was trying to shout at us to call for help. He struggled when he came in. He came up to kind of not give out, but kind of give out at the same time, saying, "Boys, why could you not help me?" I was too drunk and too high to help him. Turned out then he was a neighbour of mine, Letterkenny. We started surfing together, and just on the way home, the way he spoke, it's like he knew me, you know.
Wow.
He invited us to some meetings, and then September 2000, me and Brona surrendered our lives to the Lord. Me that on the beach that day, we used to surf, and her that night, life changed. Radically changed, and that's 24, yeah, it's supposed to be 25 years. Never looked back. Life has just been awesome. Awesome from that point, you know, for all the challenges and trials and, you know, family and health and the challenges that we all face that the Lord allows us to go through. But the roots grew deep, you know, and in faith. And yeah, so I thank the Lord. And that brings us right to all the way around here. From that day, I just wanted to serve God.
Yeah.
I wanted to reach out to young people who are caught up in the same thing as me and, you know, certain drug habits and alcohol and problems and crime. And my life was rescued from that. And it's just the joy that's in it now that I have. It's just, it's everything I want to sow back into the world to reach others, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose, isn't it amazing how oftentimes the Lord will deliver you from a particular lifestyle, right? But then he sends you back as a witness to the people who are in that lifestyle, that there's a way out, there's a better way. And did you, I suppose, coming from that lifestyle, was it difficult to go back and reach those people, or was it easy to go back and minister to them because you were in that similar place they were?
Since my life changed that time on that beach, I had no problem telling people about this incredible thing that's just filled my heart, you know. I knew it was Jesus. I knew so little about him, but I still knew plenty about him in my heart, you know. And yeah, from day one, I just, everywhere I went, I told people. And yeah, I mean, you've heard the stories, like whether it was I had kidney disease within that first year and spent so much time in hospital, and every hospital I went to, I ministered, I shared, you know, and any opportunity anywhere. Yeah, I just couldn't contain it. In a shopping center, the Lord put it in my heart to tell people, you know. We started the stuff in the streets. Yeah, it's him. Just couldn't contain it.
Yeah,
still can't. I love it. It's it's easy for me to share, but it's not always easy to be the evangelist, if you know what I mean. Like, so.
Yeah.
But there's ways. The Lord has, over the years, has shown us there's better ways to reach people.
Yeah.
Not always bash them or beat them. Maybe that's what we didn't think we were doing at the time, but it's certainly sometimes that came across.
Yeah.
You know, but now I just, we find ways to reach young people, and I absolutely love it. Passionate about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so there's one thing I would always consider you as Pastor Stephen's friend. Like, that's one of the titles in my mind. I've always thought, oh yeah, Garrett Hayes, he's Pastor Steve's friend. And like,
we can't even choose our friends in this world either. Like, so.
Oh, because I was going to ask you, like, what is, like, because obviously God brings people into our lives at strategic points, and some of them are there for the long haul, which I believe the Pastor Steve has been for your life, and just see your friendship. And what is it like to have someone journey with you through life like that, like a brother who literally is like a brother to you? And what's the impact? Because I know you're quite close to Barry Rogers as well. You know, you've got a few of those guys who you've stood the test of time with, which is a miracle, because to have two friends, it's like winning the jackpot nowadays.
That's good. Well, Barry, brilliant. We were with him there yesterday at the service. But Steve, he's been a friend for many years. Whenever we came to the Lord, we actually got a house right across the road from their place before they went to pastor in Derry.
Yeah.
And he had offered us their house to stay in, to rent it from him.
Sure.
And I remember Ronan was just born, and Steve had got this swing ball kind of kit. You know, you fill the base with water and you swing. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm just saved. I'm still a rough diamond. I'm still pretty raw, like. And I go over, and Steve's a bit of a prankster. And so I go over, and he gives me a bat. And he says, "Oh, Gar, close the gate there." So I turn around and close the gate. Well, didn't he grab the entire container of water, and he threw it over me, like, as my back was turned, you know. And I just dropped the bat, sorry, and I just walked over into the house. I couldn't even talk to him. You know, I was ripping. But that was, I suppose that was the start of our friendship. I have about 50 Facebook videos hurting him since, with surfboards down sand dunes and wiping out. So, yeah, we've had plenty of holidays together. And, of course, Wilma and Bruna are very close. And our kids grew up with their kids. And, just brilliant. But to have friends like that, it's a lifeline, you know.
Yeah.
When, like, we had nothing, we came to the Lord. I was away from the north, and Bruna, I suppose she lost her family. She was disowned when she came to faith, and so we didn't have anybody really. But the Lord gave us those guys, and I tell you, they were a lifeline. Steve to me was just he still is. I was just chatting to him actually this morning there about some stuff up to do with Zambia. I phone him at times. I get counsel, I get advice from him. We hang out, we have laughs together, we fish together. We usually catch nothing. I don't know what the story is. Like, anytime, it's like, well, there's a weird force when we come together to go catch some fish. We don't catch anything. It's like the Lord doesn't want us getting addicted to fishing together. He just keeps us for people. But yeah, it's a lifeline. And I couldn't encourage, you know, whoever's listening to the podcast, and of course, you're encouraging many young people that. Do you know, it's important to have Christians around you.
Yeah.
Do you know, we have different ideas and sometimes how to reach people. And I've had friends that wanted to go to reach their friends and keep them in the clubs and do different things. And yeah, they're not around today.
Yeah.
They never got that encouragement to get out of that scene or to get beyond it. Or even me, a grown man, 20 odd years a Christian, still sometimes I need deep counsel for certain things, you know. And you know, people like Steve. Oh man, absolute blessing. You're fortunate to have him as a pastor down there. So
that's right. And I can even say it myself. Like, I mean, isn't it amazing how oftentimes your closest friends don't live in the same geographical location as you?
I think it's better. Oh, it's better. Yeah.
It makes the friendship sweeter, because absence makes the heart grow fonder in a very real sense. Like my best friend in the whole world is Jordan Cassidy, who's pastoring out in Geneva.
He's out in Geneva, yeah.
And I get to see him maybe twice a year. Either he comes over here or I go over there. But we talk every second day or so on a voice note or FaceTime, you know. And it's just to have someone like that who's literally been with you there since day one, who knows how you're wired, knows how to speak into those areas, and often to give you the words you don't want to hear, but you need to hear.
Well, yeah, that's
you know,
it. Yeah,
and you get a little bit bitter for about 10 seconds, then you realize, okay, that's the Holy Spirit using him to prop my heart, you know.
Yeah.
But it's I love that you said even about the prankster part, because we all have that in us as well, don't we, you know?
Oh, I'm full of it. You know, my wife says, but this is a bit morbid, but it's funny at the same time. She says, "Gareth, if any one of us goes off to glory, I hope I go off first." I was like, "Why would you say that?" She says, "I couldn't handle the fact that so many would come to the funeral saying, I have a Gareth story. You'd have to listen to stories forever, you know. I pulled that many pranks, apparently." So, so everywhere I go, someone says they have a Gareth story. So,
how bad.
We'll see how true that is.
You've made some sort of a lasting impact on people's life wherever you go, huh?
Usually pranks, but yeah.
Awesome. And then, Gareth, just I suppose to jump into it, you know, you've been involved in missions pretty much up in Derry. You know, you had that Hope, is it Hope Bus? And then you've had
Hope Mission.
Yeah, so I suppose, like, it sounds like a very loaded question, but how did that start, the Hope Missions? Because it started with the bus, the cafe, and now it's gone over to Zambia. So it's ever developing, ever growing, and it's really having a lasting impact on the people that you're coming into contact with.
Yeah, man, praise the Lord, it's going good. Actually, just today we sent out the full amount of money to buy the boys' home.
Oh, wow.
That just happened today. So that's our next young boys' home and school. So the guys will get that. So, yeah, we were in the bank this morning sorting all that stuff. So praise the Lord for it.
Wow.
Yeah, with the Hope Mission stuff. Sure, it started years ago when I rescued that sheep out of the ocean, and that sheep has a lot to answer for, you know. Just that ministered so much to me. I ended up going to Derry, reaching out to children, young people, teenagers that were, they felt life for them was over for the most part.
Wow.
Many were heading to the bridge, and that's where we started it. We had a little cafe or caravan. We called it the Hope Cafe. It looked like Father Ted's caravan, the wee green thing. The amount of people used to come on is just Irish dance, but we had it in Foyle Street one night. The whole side fell off it. There was about 14 teenagers inside it.
Wow.
And we had the tea and coffee. But anyway, one of the young guys was holding the side on to get all the people out. And then the Lord provided a bus for us. And then we went from there to the cafe. And yeah, it was booming. Ministry was great. But the Lord had always put it on my heart that Zambia would be the call one day, you know. I had that from years ago, from like 2007. When I was out there with Nick Cassidy and wrote up my Bible, I mean, it's coming to life now, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Hope Cafe, COVID hit, shuts everything down. We had our mission organization, our shops and everything here. And it was the first day of COVID when everything closed down in Ireland, was the first day that it opened up in the streets of Lusaka.
Wow.
Mm. So that's where it all come about, like, kind of. I've been chasing a guy called Elijah. He's been to your church speaking.
Yeah,
he's right. He now runs our work in Lusaka. I chased him for 10 years from those first mission trips way back 2007, 2008.
Wow.
And we lost contact for years until the first day of COVID. I tried to find him for years to start the work up in Zambia. First day of COVID, all our shops got closed down, all our ministries, everything here in the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
And one of the street boys that I knew back in the day, he reached out to me on Facebook that day and said, "How am I doing?" And I just asked him a question. "Do you know Elijah?" He says, "I was just talking to him." So I says, here's my number.
Wow.
So Elijah phoned me less than an hour later. Me and Brona were wondering, you know, where does the mission go from here? You know, COVID just threw everything upside down. And
yeah,
it's a real testimony to one door closes and another one opens, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was us. So we started the street ministry that day. I remember Elijah and his wife Mary, but she had actually just died. She had ovarian cancer, and they had him and his two sons had just buried her. And he had phoned me coming back from the graveyard, so it was quite an emotional thing. But they had no money to pay for the headstone of the grave, so it was only a small amount of money. Myself and Bruno paid for that day.
Sure.
And I told him, I said, "Listen, what are you doing with yourself?" And he says, "I'm still going out of town to work. I have to leave the kids at home." Plus, he had two or three other kids that they had adopted. Now Elijah's got them all, his five children.
Wow.
And he was leaving them in the house to go out and work outside the city. So I said, "Here, would you stay on as a street pastor? We'd employ you." And that was it. So that was day one. We started under the bridge in Lusaka, feeding the kids, preaching the gospel right through COVID.
Yeah.
And now it's obviously grown since then. So.
Because like, anytime that you've come to our church, I remember I was actually there. It was a Wednesday night service, I believe, when Elijah and yourself were there. And it was incredible just to hear his story.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Now, Brona's doing his book at the minute. We're going to bring him back over later this year to try to finish it. He survived the genocide. And, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff with Burundi, Congo, making it to Zambia. A powerful guy. Great heart on him. But now out there in Zambia, we have a serious team at the minute. You know, we've just bought, obviously, we sent the money today for the boys' home. We have the school, the girls' house. Now we have a farm. Do you know, within 2020, it's just praise the Lord, you know, it's powerful.
Yeah, because I know you've got the boys' home. You've got the girls' home as well. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, the girls' home, yeah. So the one we just bought today is going to be our boys' home. So about 12 to 14 boys, hopefully, and another school. We have 14 girls from the streets, all in our care, some permanent. We have two babies. The last one I got to name. So one of our young girls, she was, unfortunately, she had been assaulted before coming to us. We didn't know. Baby was born, a wee boy, and they wanted me to name him. So I named him Isaac. That's really cool. So we were out there recently. He's 6 months old now. In fact, just in Spain, myself and Bruno were going about the store. We were shopping for the babies. It was great.
Yeah.
So I bought a wee outfit for Isaac. I'm delighted. I've even got, even here beside me, I've got a teddy for him.
Oh, awesome. Oh, brilliant.
Winnie the Pooh stuff. So yeah.
What?
So it's great. I feel like a grandparent already, you know. It's great.
Yeah. And what I
And yeah,
suppose
so
then,
it's all grown, so.
what is the, like, because people are hearing on the podcast, maybe they're hearing boys home, girls home. Oh, that's lovely, but how does that benefit them? Like, what's the purpose of the boys and girls home? Like, because maybe people don't realize what it's like for the kids. They're literally on the streets, right? And so,
Yeah.
like, how does that work for them? Can anyone come? Is there a max capacity? How does that work?
Well, currently there's over 30,000 street kids in
Wow.
Lusaka because of the AIDS, kind of thing through the years. That middle bracket of people were destroyed. So you had grandparents and children.
Yeah.
Now it's like 55% of the country is under 18. So that's happened for a while, and then they have their kids, and there's a whole education problem, everything. So, with Hope Mission, and Hope for us stands for health, outreach, prayer, education, and that's really our mission statement.
Wow.
Is they're AIDS orphan kids, they're on the streets. We have young girls there at 13, 14 with babies, living there. And so that was the most vulnerable for us. That's where we started to reach out that way. And then to rescue them, but it's always been my heart to minister the gospel to these young people. That's what the Lord has prompted my heart through James chapter 1:27, to
Yeah.
care for orphans and widows,
Sure.
and that's always been a desire in my heart, and that's just for us, but for to see the kids. Of course, we want to preach, we want to minister the gospel. It's life altering, but it's life altering through the story of hope, or through the work of hope, through the
Yeah.
health. A lot of them have AIDS. All of them have STIs, STDs. They're assaulted on the streets,
Wow.
So we focus on the health stuff. We raise the money. We have our shops. We do individual fundraising. So we take them to clinics. They go through HIV. Malaria is a big thing. So we
Yeah.
just put 9 of them through the malaria treatment there last year. And it really is the exploits of care and love. It's the hands and feet of the gospel.
Yeah.
The outreach is the feeding program. We call it the Bridge Church because it's
Okay.
literally under the bridge in Lusaka. So
Wow.
that's why it became the Bridge Church. And we built the benches and minister the gospel every week, feeding programs. Prayer, hugely important. It really is the engine
Yeah.
room of the whole mission. And and then education, because you try to break that stem. It's already second, third generation with some of them on the streets, and being able to offer education would change their life. Already we have, I think, five or six in higher education. We have a
Yeah.
radiographer now in training, electricians, people doing diplomas in hotel management, all from the Hope Mission program,
Wow.
and there's even more than that now, but we've mo loads more in school. And I think that would change society. We encourage them to stay involved every weekend. They're not studying, and they do, they come, they get involved with the kids. It's a community is
Yeah.
what we're trying to build. And then now the boys' house is just beside that. So we're starting to build a compound. But what's really on my heart is this, and I'll share it with you. This is the first time I'll share this publicly. It was
Okay.
just a few weeks ago. I've been waiting on the Lord, saying, Lord, what is it that you're calling us to? And I can say this with full confidence that it's great, it's wonderful what we're doing, and I'm excited, and we love the children, and we do birthday celebrations. I just love all the time with them, and it's just beautiful. They're like our own
Yeah.
grandchildren. There's 30,000 children in Lusaka, and I feel that's what's on my heart to reach,
Wow.
so it's something that was just birthed a few weeks ago, and it stayed. It's of the Lord when it stays. It just doesn't
Yeah.
disappear as a thought. So our plan is to keep going, keep investing, and we have, there's a few things in the pipeline now this year. Plus we have a farm, 75 acres, that we had bought a few years ago.
Wow.
And even I was out there recently with Stephen, my bride, and some of the team, and we put the borehole in the water, and I'm looking on, and just these last few days I'm realizing there's enough acreage there
Yeah.
to get enough maize, soya, tomatoes to actually run all the feeding programs that we would need
Wow.
to feed that many young people, so that's where my heart's gone.
Yeah.
It's by absolute faith, because what do we have,
That's
but
right.
if you see behind me here, this is actually, I wanted to sit here because I wanted to show this to you.
Okay.
This is where my ministry started years ago. I was in Pete's back, man. Pete,
Yeah.
Alabama. Come
Yeah.
on, man. Okay,
Yeah.
anyway, so we were at an orphanage with him in Tennessee, up the Smoky Mountains, at a little Baptist church. And myself and Brona and our two girls, and we had one of the orphan girls with us. We were just touring around. And up at this Baptist church, there was a wee graveside. And I wanted to go and have a look at it. And there was one grave with no headstone on it. And the only thing on it was that slogan, was a little plaque. And I read that. And man, if there's ever something that's seared into my heart, it was this.
Wow.
And I've kept it ever since. It's been on the bus. It's been my home. And it says, do not follow where the path leads, but go where there is no path and leave a trail. And wow. If there's anything that fires up my heart, it's even when you're working here or just doing some construction or carpentry,
yeah,
you just read it. But that, I don't know, many years ago, I wasn't even pastor and later Kenny at the time with Trevor. It just stirred up my soul, you know.
Yeah.
And I read it, and that's been my thing ever since. It's just leave a trail, you know.
Yeah.
Just go where there is none. Like whoever's listening online, don't be afraid to take a leap of faith. It's full of hurt, full of mistakes. It's full of things, but it's just, you just keep going and you want to reach the people. The Lord will make a way.
Yeah.
And
I wanted to ask you a question. When Pastor Steve was out there recently, he gave a praise report in our church. You know, he showed us some pictures, but he also showed us that video of when the water started sprouting up from the ground. And like, you know, when you hear that people go to build a well, like, is it like, basic question is, how do you know where the water is? Do you have to get someone to zone the land, or how does that work? Because you can't just go digging holes everywhere, right?
Well, you can try, I suppose. but there is like underground river systems, you know.
Sure.
So we had surveyed that land, and we had two spots that was the geologist, whoever it was, had surveyed it 2 years ago. And they say, Gareth, there's water coming through there at 40 meters, and there's water coming through there, whatever. But the problem was, we had went in November, we had built two farmhouses, one for the farm manager, he's a pastor as well, to start the work there.
Yeah.
But it's on the edge of the farm, and it's nowhere near where the two markings were. I didn't compute at the time. And we had started some hectares of corn, and tomato plants are growing, and all this wee farm is starting to grow here, but it's still 100 meters away from the borehole was going to be.
Yeah.
The problem with that was, well, we were putting a solar pump down, but you couldn't run that length of power cable and keep the current required from to draw the water out. So that was a problem. So we just decided the night before when we were in Zambia, we said, listen, we're going to the farm tomorrow. Why not just go by faith and dig a hole literally right beside the house and see what happens? It's just, you know, what choice do you have?
Wow.
And sure, we had a geyser. I don't know what we hit, like, but there was water at 10 meters deep. And sure, it's still coming, you know. We went down 50 meters, and I think they're getting 5,000 liters every hour and a half.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So there's plenty of water, plenty of water, enough to do what we're doing. And also, we're using it as an outreach into the local. The ladies would walk to the well. We had dug a 5-meter well, sure. You know, but they have to pull the water out, whatever. So we try to do that as an outreach. But now they can literally essentially get the water from a tap from us.
Wow.
And we can also ask them to get involved. Maybe it's like scattering some seed, or, you know, sure. They also help, you know, bring the scrub, the bush land, whatever else, you know.
Mm.
So like a ministry. So I believe there'll be a church there in the coming years, and there's definitely a ministry started, you know. So, who knew? Who knew?
Just by a simple step of faith for yourself and Brona back many years ago, and you just took a step of faith, and now you see what that step of faith has produced and impacted in the lives of other people, you know. And I wanted to say, Gareth, like, my heart is always stirred when I hear stuff like this happening, right? And yes, we go by faith, but there's costs to things like this. Like,
huge.
And that's the reality of it, you know. And whoever's listening to this, Gareth, would you mind, maybe they want to support, maybe their heart is being stirred to want to financially support, or maybe even go on a missions trip with you next time you and your team are heading out there. How do people get involved? How can they financially support it? You know, is there links? Is there a website? How does that work?
Yeah, I'm really terrible at social media. Everybody asks me everywhere I go, what's my Instagram? I'm like, I have one, but I've never actually clicked into it, you know?
Mm.
So I'm terrible. We have a basic website. It's called dropincommunity.com. It gives the basic. We are building better stuff, Brona, and there's a few others in the background. So it's dropin, DROPINN, community.com.
Okay.
And you'll kind of see what we're doing. And if you want to get involved, you can reach out to us that way. You can share my details as well, even on this podcast, my number and so forth. Sure. There's no problem. But what I do want to say, I'm glad you asked that question, because what I find is, what I've, my own experience over the years, that you always hear the good stories. Do you know? And yeah, we all always love reading the good stories.
Sure.
And we don't hear so much about the headache, you know, or the sleepless nights or the torment and things like that. And when you step out by faith, you know, you're putting a target on your head. That's what you did.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when you put a target on your head and you feel the weight of it the next day, or something comes to you, it's the next day after that, you know, I've always enjoyed the scripture of Job 28. And if you're listening, just go read the whole chapter. And it just talks about where gold is found and silver is found. But it talks about this place, like the men in the shaft dangling off a rope. And it says places forgotten by the foot of man. And I often think of that, but it says the lion can't go there, the bird of prey cannot go there. And it's into that secret place with Christ, you know. But if you're in a shaft, it's a dark place. But also, if you read on down, but said that's where sapphires are produced. But even it goes on and says this is the source of rivers. But men attack the flinty rock and they assault it. And for me, there's a bit of endurance is required in the believer, that it's just not all easy. It's not all Instagram photos. It's not all bed of roses, you know. There's challenge and trial to it. But there's times where I feel I'm in that shaft, dangling off that rope. And you just feel if just the right sort of scissors would come along and snip that thing, you just plummet and you just keep falling. But you must realize that the Lord has to take you there. And the only thing that's going to keep you is his word. He has to take you there, because as much as I love Steve McBride or Barry and my friends, the Lord brings you to the place, they're not good enough anymore. They're just not going to sustain you. Or my wife or my children is just not going to sustain you. And sometimes you're just dangling and swaying in this place. You're thinking, Lord, if someone just has those right scissors, like I'm going to fall. But there's no weapon formed against us, you know.
Yeah.
And it's to take hold of that. And I want to just encourage people that that's the truth. That's the challenge. We face that. I mean, I raise money left and right. We're doing this left and right. I minister left and right. But challenges do come.
Yeah.
You know, we've lost children at the site, the feeding program. We just lost a baby last year. One of the babies was stolen 2 years ago from the feeding program and never came back again. And actually, I've always said to Elijah, I said, you know, if we ever get a boy's home, we want to call it David's House in memory of the young boy David. So that's what this new house is going to be called, David's House, you know. And the reality is that there's pain attached to it, you know. And there's tears and there's challenge. But he is a great God. And he does that, and he allows that to deepen something in you, that the connections of the world just, you know, they don't matter. You know, that's not, you don't wait until all this is answered before you do something in faith, you know. You just know in your heart. Like, I'm going to tell you another big secret. This is pretty cool. 5 days ago, I reached out to the board of directors at Drop In Community Ireland. And I said, guys, I've got a piece on it. Let's just go send out, it was 13,500 euros. Out to the work in Zambia to buy this house. That's the equivalent of what it's worth. We didn't have it all. Brona is kind of like, she does the book, so she's kind of looking at me going, are you serious? And she had lost a bit of peace on it that night. And then 2 days ago in the morning, someone I never spoke to, maybe, like I said, at a church one time, someone said hello, whatever. That was it. And they had messaged me to say the night before that... that was really on their heart over the boy's house, David's house. The next morning, they sent $5,000 into the account specifically for the house. And that completed the amount of money we needed to purchase the property, you know. Amen. And I just, what do you do? But I just stood in the shed. Literally, I stood right here. I just put my hands up, just saying, Lord, you're incredible. You're just incredible.
Yeah.
But we did it before we had the money, you know. That's been the way. But I need that. I need that act of obedience. And I need those nuggets of gold. You know, maybe not everybody can live there.
Yeah.
But I require to see the move in the hand of the Lord, you know. So be encouraged anyway. If you're listening online, challenges is part of the ministry. And don't be afraid of that, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Gareth, thank you so much for coming on, man. I will put the links and stuff for people to support and get in touch with you guys. But thank you so much for coming on, man. It's been a wonderful chat with you.
Brilliant. Bless you, bro.
Bless you, buddy. Take care. God bless you. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Hope Sessions podcast. Did you enjoy the episode? Maybe did it encourage you or motivate you? Do you think that someone in your life could benefit or be blessed by this episode? If so, then why not send it to them? Lastly, don't forget to like, share and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you use. This massively helps to spread the podcast literally all across the world. And don't forget, the hope is to life as oxygen is to the body. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Take care.